So hello everybody, I want to thank the organizers for giving me the opportunity to present our recent work about coherent structures at this conference. So I will talk today on coherent structures, in particular in the quasi-linear approximation, but more generally on also on coherent structures with different scales. And so this is joint work with Martin Lellet, Marina Pausch, and Bruno Eckhardt from University of Marburg. So a little bit of motivation. So if we study turbulence, we all know that on the large scales, we have energy injection and which creates somehow large vortices and streaks. And then this energy is transferred to smaller scales where it finally is dissipated. So we have a variety of different scales in the turbulent flow. And also we heard about this attached eddies that contribute to the formation of the turbulent yield profile and are important, especially close to the boundary layer. We here see a sketch from an old paper from Friedrich Busse, where we have these large scale structures and close to the walls, we become increasingly small, decreasing the size of these vortices decreases. But on the other side, we have what we heard in various talks, this dynamical systems picture of turbulence, so that the state space is full of so-called exact solutions, and we can think of a turbulent trajectory as something that moves between such exact coherent structures. So we're approaching one of these exact coherent structures along one of its stable manifolds, and then we depart from it along its unstable manifold. And so this turbulent trajectory moves from one exact solution to another one. So, and if you compare these two pictures, so we have this turbulent cascade and you have this dynamical systems picture of turbulence, then there's a need for exact solutions of different scales. So, or of exact solutions which involve different scales. So, and I will first talk about how to get them. Therefore, we studied Planck quad flow using John Gibson's channel flow code. And yeah. Here we see a sketch of such a coherent structure in a small computational domain with a streamwise extent Lx, a spanwise extent Lz, and here we have the Wall-Normal direction Ly. So, and our idea was, okay, we have this solution which fills the whole domain, and then we rescale them just by a factor of lambda to get a smaller one. So we decrease every direction, and in one normal direction, we just add laminar flow to the in the upper part and the lower part of the domain. And in particular, if you consider Planck quad flow, which has a linear, just a linear profile, then you can plug somehow this ansatz into the Navier-Stokes equation so that you obtain a scaled solution lambda from a known exact coherent structure U. And then you find out that a solution at one scale one at a Reynolds number, at a given Reynolds number, is related to another solution U lambda at a smaller scale lambda at a different Reynolds number, which you obtain by the old Reynolds number divided by lambda square. This is exact if you have no walls, but if you have walls, there are some corrections to it, but this approach gives you quite a good method to obtain initial guesses to find exact coherent structures on different scales. And now we'll show you something about our results. So we started with this exact coherent structure, which so we have here a visualization of the Q vortex criterion. So we have vortices in the mid of the channel. Here we see the bifurcation diagram using the amplitude of the flow field on the y-axis. And then we applied this method to obtain another coherent structure. So this is obtained with a value of lambda of 0.5. And then we nicely see that we obtain a smaller coherent structure which appears at a higher Reynolds number. And we can play this game again and again. And then we obtain, four different exact coherent structures with very different scale. And in particular, if you now look here at this Reynolds number of 10 to the 5, for example, you see that all four structures are present at this high Reynolds number. So at the high Reynolds number, you really have your cascade of this exact coherent structures. And if you again apply this rescaling to our bifurcation diagram, so rescale the amplitudes and also the Reynolds numbers, then you see that this solution branches nicely collapse. especially for the lower branches. So you have basically the same solution, the same solution branch. There are some differences at the upper branches of these solutions because this one-normal localization, which is important for this rescaling to work, gets somehow lost at the upper branches of the solution. So the one-normal localization is not that good for the upper branch. So this is what explains the deviations of the bifurcation diagrams for the upper branch. So, and I just want to mention that this kind of solutions are somehow similar to solutions studied by Deguchi in a recent JFM paper, but I have not checked if they are really identical. So you can also do this for other exact coherent structures. So we here see an example of solutions that are localized close to one wall of the channel. So here the visualizations are again for different Reynolds numbers. But if you, for example, look here at Reynolds number of 64,000, then you can see that all of these three exact coherent structures exist. So again, there you have this cascade, and which somehow comes to this attached eddies, which we saw already this afternoon. And we can also use this method to find different localized solutions. So this is solutions that are localized in streamwise direction, and also for these solutions, this method works. Yeah.
Hi, Joe Klawicki, UNH. Are these solutions coincident in space, or are they, how are they arranged spatially at a given, you said they all exist at a high Reynolds number, that you'd have this hierarchy of them.
Yeah.
Are they coexistent in space? How do they exist?
So they coexist in the state space, but yeah, do you have this one solution and the other ones? I do not have dynamic connections between them. At least I do not know them. So, so these are solutions in different boxes, and you can use the can also obtain these solutions in the larger in this large computational domain by putting four of them into this domain. I'm not sure if this answers your question.
Archie Sharma.
What I'm trying to understand is there a spatial relationship between these? You're showing them in separate boxes, but at a high Reynolds number, I thought you said they'd all exist in that same flow. And so what I'm wondering is how does the spatial organization of one relate to the spatial organization of the other?
Indeed, this is somehow which the missing point. So I do not know how dynamically you can come from this solutions to one of the smaller ones. So, but you can have this domain, and in this domain you can also find this smaller smaller solution. But you need four copies.
Archie Sharma, Southampton. To ask Joe's question in a different way, if you look, these are localized in Y, in the wall normal distance.
Yeah.
So at a given Reynolds number, as you go across this family, since take the Reynolds number, you have your different solutions. How does that localization in Y change? Do you know how far from the wall they are as you change from one solution set to the other?
Maybe I'll just come to the next slide, and then you will see how the profiles look and how they look.
Can I ask another question, actually? How many?
As long as it's about this slide.
Yes. So at these high Reynolds numbers, do you have the full range of wave numbers in your simulation?
Sorry, please ask.
Is your simulation fully resolved?
Yes.
Okay.
I hope.
Is that small question? So it's Carlo Corso, CNRS, MFT. So what you show here is what is lower branch solutions or upper branch?
These are lower branch solutions, yes.
Lower branch, but can you get self-similar upper branches?
As I said, it's a little bit complicated because in general, this one-normal localization gets somehow lost, or at least becomes weaker for the upper branches. So the scaling does not work really good for them. But in principle, if you have the upper branches, I can continue them at each Reynolds number,
This is related to attached eddies. Attached eddies is something you observe in the turbulent regime, and usually when you do these current structures, you know, it's the upper branch that has the statistics more similar to the turbulent regime. So it was one. Okay, just a comment.
Okay, now let's come to the profiles in Y. Maybe this answers the question. So I here show you profiles for the cross-flow energy densities for the different states. Here, these are for the states that are localized in the center of the channel, and here we are localized in the close to the wall. So we see that the small-scale structures are quite close to the wall here for this somehow attached eddy solutions. And yeah, and for this larger solutions, they are they have a larger distance. But what I want to show you with this plots is that if you apply this rescaling in one angle direction and in this energy, then they also nicely collapse. So this small solutions are completely similar to the large scale solutions. And what we also analyzed for the solutions is their stability. So for the solutions localized in the center and for close and close to the wall, I calculated the eigenvalues, the leading eigenvalues of the solutions, and then you see that here, for example, for this primary solution, so at the lower Reynolds numbers and then the upper and then the this those at the higher Reynolds numbers, you see that the stability probabilities are basically the same. So we have small corrections and small deviations you see here, which are close to the imperfect wall normal localization. But so the leading eigenvalues, which are most relevant, are the same for the rescaled solutions. So you can expect that locally the dynamics are at the high Reynolds numbers at a smaller scale are similar to the dynamics at the larger scales at lower Reynolds numbers. So that also tells us that what we learn from studying this dynamics at low Reynolds numbers, we can reuse to understand what's happening on smaller scales at high Reynolds numbers. But somehow what's missing is that now we have the scales at different solutions, the states with the different scales. But up to now, we have no dynamic connections between these states. And I didn't found solutions which involve different scales. So one solution which with two different scales, that's somehow what's missing. And to solve this, or as an approach to get such solutions, we want to study the dynamics in a quasi-linear approximation. And in this approximation, we have different scales which only interact with the mean flow and do not interact with each other. So maybe that makes it easier to identify exact solutions which involve different scales. And therefore, we want to study rotating plane Couette flow. We choose this system because it's a simple flow. We only use the two-dimensional one with three components. And the system has a linear instability, which gives us a well-understood transition and an easy access to exact coherent structures. And here you see the equation. So we choose the rotation axis parallel to the spanwise direction. And then we have two parameters. One is the Reynolds numbers, and the other one is the dimensionless rotation number. But in the remaining talk, I will fix this dimensionless rotation number at a value of 0.5. And just to give you an overview of what's happening in the nonlinear system, depending on the Reynolds number, at some point you get a linear instability, which will create some Taylor rolls. And then you have a further instability, which creates first a periodic state and then a chaotic one. And here you see some videos of the temporal dynamics. Sorry. Yeah, at the low Reynolds numbers, we have just this modulated rolls. And then here we have chaos at this high Reynolds number. Now I come to the quasi-linear approximation. So we can split a full velocity field in a part which has no spanwise variation and in one part which has spanwise variation. So there's a full velocity field, and you decompose it into these two parts. And you can also define projectors which give you these two components of the velocity field. And then we look at a nonlinear term, which in this decomposition splits into four parts. And you can show that for our two-dimensional rotating plane grad flow, which is invariant in streamwise direction, this term is zero. This one is zero. This one we keep. And this one involves coupling between terms with spanwise variation. But from this term, we only want to keep the part which changes the mean flow, so which the projection on the velocity field, which has no spanwise variation. And then this is our nonlinearity in the quasi-linear approximation. So just these two parts. And what we omitted is so this projection on the velocity field with spanwise variation of this term. And also, I want to mention this quasi-linear approximation we heard about in Steve Tobias' talk, where he also explained us the generalized version of this approximation. So, and now we look at the dynamics of this rotating plane grad flow in this approximation. So here we have the dynamics for the nonlinear system at Reynolds numbers of 800. And now we compare it to the quasi-linear approximation, and then we see the dynamics becomes much easier. So we just have the we found that a tracking state in the quasi-linear approximation is an always a stationary solution. And now what's somewhat interesting is to compare the mean profiles in these two cases, so in the nonlinear case and in the quasi-linear approximation. And here you see a comparison at a Reynolds number of 1,000. And what you see is typically the mean profile in the middle here becomes proportional to the dimensional rotation number, so we have a slope of 0.5. And then here, you're close to the boundary layers, there are small deviations, so the quasi-linear approximation is steeper as the nonlinear case. But if we rescale it in wall units, you see that they nicely collapse, and you have the same curve of the profiles close to the boundary layer. So what we found is that qualitatively the profiles are in the quasi-linear approximation and in the nonlinear case are similar. So, and now I want to show you how these profiles of the rotating plane grad flow change with the independence on the Reynolds numbers. Here we have a Reynolds number of 400, and if we increase the Reynolds numbers, this part where the profile is linear, so linear to the wall distance, where the mean velocity is proportional to the wall distance, increases with increasing Reynolds numbers. So we are the highest Reynolds numbers are 100,000 we calculated. And what we want to do now is we want to understand how these turbulent mean profiles are related to exact coherent structures and how they are created. Therefore, we had also 200,000. Yeah, we are interested in the mechanism for the creation of these profiles. So, therefore, we look at the bifurcation diagram here, the comparison of the nonlinear case and the quasi-linear case. So, the quasi-linear case has the same instability as the nonlinear one, but the further bifurcations are different. So, we have here a bifurcation to a second stationary solutions, and then if the Reynolds number further increases, we obtain further stationary solutions. So now we are interested what happens at this bifurcation point that creates this other stationary solutions. And therefore, we look at, we decompose our velocity field. So we have a part which varies in spanwise direction. And we look at now at one particular spanwise mode and look at the amplitude of this particular spanwise mode. And then we see that for Reynolds number 500, here for example, we see that the amplitude of the first only the first two modes is active, and then we have they rapidly decay. And if we increase the Reynolds number, then further modes become active, and in particular we see that here some at high Reynolds numbers you observe somehow we have this low mode numbers which are active, then you have this somehow there's a hole. And then you have here these plateau values for large spanwise wave numbers where you also have active modes. Now we want to relate this to the bifurcation diagram, which is we saw earlier. And therefore, we take one of these curves and color code the amplitude value. And then we show this for different Reynolds numbers. And then you obtain this kind of diagram. So here, the color code shows the amplitude of the mode. Yeah, and then we see here, for example, we have only one active mode at low Reynolds numbers. This is primary instability, just a pair of counter-rotating rolls. Then further bifurcations at new modes. So at every point where you get a new active mode, that's a bifurcation. So and now we want to show you how these modes look like and how they change the profiles. And therefore, we look at it here at a Reynolds number of about 800. At this Reynolds number of 800, we have only four active modes. So this is the primary mode. So only look at the half of the channel. So these are two rolls. And this is second, third, and fourth. This is not so important, which is because it's very weak. And what's important about this quasi-linear approximation is, since these modes do not really interact with each other, you can easily switch off one of these modes in your equilibrium solution, and then you have obtained a very good initial guess to find other exact coherent structures. And that is what we want to do now, to understand how the contributions of these different modes to the mean profile are. So therefore, here I show you the mean profile of the stable solution at a Reynolds number of 800, and then I knock out this mode number one and obtain a different exact coherent structure. And you see that the solutions do not really look very different. But this changes if I also lock out the mode number two. So then I removed all these large scales and only have small scales left. And then you see that profiles moves to the wall. And the opposite happens if I knock out all this high mode, so 2, 3, and 4, and then I only have the large scale left, and then you see that the profile has a much larger distance to the wall. And so you see that the low mode numbers create somewhat a linear profile in the bulk, and the higher Reynolds numbers contribute to the boundary layers. I hope that in the future we'll have data for a higher Reynolds number of 800, then this will be more convincing. So that's so far the quasi-linear case, but you can also use this quasi-linear approximation to then obtain exact solutions in the nonlinear system, because you can continue solutions that we found in the quasi-linear system to the nonlinear system easily by introducing a homotopy parameter alpha, which with which you can switch on the nonlinearity. So here if this homotopy parameter is 1, then we are in the quasi-linear approximation, and then if you decrease this parameter, you can get to the full equations. And so if we found for all the solutions which we found in the nonlinear and the quasi-linear approximations, you can find a solution in the nonlinear case. So, and that's the end of my talk. So I showed you for the full nonlinear DNS that we were able to identify different exact coherent structures at the different scales, and then we performed quasi-linear direct numerical simulations and were able to study this rotating plane quad flow, which has similar mean profiles for the quasi-linear case as for the full Navier-Stokes equations. And we can understand how this turbulent mean profile is formed by a simple bifurcation analysis. And finally, we can also continue the solutions from this rotating plane quad flow in the quasi-linear approximation to the full nonlinear simulation. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Stefan, questions?
Yongyin Huang, Imperial College. You never mentioned about the speed of the world attached to solutions. How did you actually scale? How does it scale the speed? It should propagate because it's actually in the new wall.
Yeah, these are traveling wave solutions. I forgot to mention this. I calculate this. I can show you the graphs, but I cannot tell you it.
Rodolfo Stil, Harvard University. Can you go back to your near wall profiles, the ones where you show all the different Reynolds numbers?
For the quasi-linear case?
Yeah. Yes. So it seems strange that you don't have even the beginnings of a log layer for even your largest simulation. Can you comment on this? Because you just seem to have like the viscous sublayer and then a perfectly horizontal bulk.
This is two-dimensional rotating blank black flow. I think for two-dimensional rotating black flow, you do not expect this for the you even do not expect this for the full nonlinear simulations, I think.
Okay.
So, we didn't miss anything here.
No, I was just going to make a comment. Okay, so we learned earlier this week that we could get rid of the streamwise direction, now we learn we can kind of get rid of the spanwise direction. And what we're going to show Matt and Dwight and I tomorrow is you can kind of get rid of the cross-channel direction. And I guess you can still be doing things with a couple of ODEs.
Thank you, Lorette Tuckerman, ESPCI.
That's a very interesting talk. When you continue in your... Can you go back to the thing where you continue?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Steve Tobias, University of Leeds. Thanks, Brad. So you're continuing in the amplitude, are you, of the term that you've thrown away? Your alpha parameter.
Ah.
So close.
Yeah.
So your your continuation parameter is the amplitude of the nonlinear of the eddy-eddy interactions that you've thrown away. Is that right?
No, do you mean this alpha?
Yeah.
That's just a parameter which I can use to switch on the parts of the nonlinearity which I omitted.
Okay. So something else you could do is continue in what I call the cutoff for the GQL approximation, and it might give us some kind of understanding as to why you say lambda equals 5 works quite well.
Okay. You mean that I successively turn on additional modes. Yeah.
I don't know if things look similar in your coherent structures at that point.
It might be smoother than this one. Yeah?
Well, I don't know, but it might give us at least some idea as to why our thing works at lambda equals 5, for example. I think it might be an interesting thing to try anyway.
Thank you.
I'm sure that you said that, but I forgot. What is the scaling of the amplitude of your solution in the first part of your talk? I mean, your scale.
Yeah.
The scaling with the length. I mean, how does say something like the velocity amplitude of your solution scale with the length?
So the velocity amplitudes, they are I have to rescale with this
That amplitude is what? I mean, is the velocity?
It's just here, so defined like this. So the square root of this
you're going to use that to sort of synthesize turbulence. Then the amplitude of your solution should scale like the cube root of the length. So that the energy transfer rate is constant. I mean, that's Kolmogorov.
Stefan, I think, oh, John Gibson, UNH. I think he's referring to the transformation of U to lambda times U, and then you change the length scale. X goes to X over lambda. Is that right? Yeah, back one slide. Yes.
This one?
So I mean, you cannot use that to synthesize turbulence, because if you are going to synthesize turbulence, then the energy transfer rate, which is U cubed divided by L, should be constant. Should be the same for all the scales. And that is, this is U divided by L. So that this essentially is a lamina. I mean,
maybe there's a problem. Okay, the scaling I used is then for different Reynolds numbers. If you are at a fixed Reynolds number, then this is not the scaling for the solution. So I used this rescaling here to compare a solution at a high Reynolds numbers to this large solution at a lower Reynolds number.
But how do you put together all these things in one turbulent flow?
Yeah, okay, then we are here at a for example here 10 to the 5, then I cannot show you how this solution, how the scaling of the, so the large scale solutions to the small scale solution is. I have to recalculate this. So that's not the simple scaling, I think.
So you're saying that it's always, I mean, essentially the same solution. You're always seeing the same solution, just
yes.
With a different
size, yeah.
Okay, so it's not. No. I mean, there has to be a scaling of something. I mean, all these things are moving something. If you're in the inertial range, you're moving energy, and then U cubed divided by L is constant. If you are using, if you're looking at self-similar solution in the log layer, then your Reynolds stress has to be constant, and then U has to be constant. So there has to be a definite scaling. You are going to use them together to create the same turbulent flow.
Okay, Carl, we'll get back.
Oh, by the way, I was Javier Jiménez.
It's Carlo Cosu from CNRS IMFT. I have a related question. So can you plot your solution in inner units, you know, in wall units? What would it give? I mean, at some point you would have a solution corresponding to 100 plus units in the spinless direction. Would be the maximum of URMS like 3 in wall units, or completely different? Or you have an idea?
So I never plotted them in wall units, but I can try. Yeah, I will.
John Gibson, UNH. So back on that previous slide, when you showed the rescaling of U with lambda. Oh, first of all, I just want to comment. I feel like that you did this discreetly, like you chose lambda equals 2. It looked like
yes,
from your.
Yes, it's also possible to use lambda equals 0.6 or something like
yes,
this.
Yes. So I'm just struck. That kind of wowed me that you. Did this, chose to do this in steps of 2 rather than through continuation, but maybe there's too much.
Okay, I had this picture in mind from this attached eddy, so you have the large one and you have the smaller ones that have just a half of the distance.
Well,
that's
amazing
why we come to the factor of 0.5.
And then my question is that, you know, it's no simple thing to rescale the size of a structure between two fixed walls. I'm just thinking numerically, I can see how to scale X and Z with periodic conditions changing the box. But so what happened when you, how did you transform the Y coordinate? You were transforming, on that previous slide, that X goes to X over lambda is the same in all components.
On the numerical side, then,
oh yes, you told that. Okay,
you put the laminar flow.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we are not exact. So it's just an initial guess to get them, and a quite good initial guess for most cases.
Greg.
Okay. Greg Cheney, New Hampshire. There were lots of really interesting ideas here, and I guess just one suggestion is I think this first part of the talk, you mentioned Deguchi 2015, but I think there's Blackburn, Hall, and Sherwin. 2012 or 13, in which, within the context of the asymptotic vortex wave interaction framework, so a very large Reynolds number, where Reynolds number's kind of out of the problem, more or less, they looked at exactly this kind of thing in Couette flow, but it could have been almost anything, because once you get away from the walls, basically, they were able to rescale their exact asymptotic exact coherent structures, you know, in this way. And I think, relevant to Javier's question, they were able to argue for a 5/3, you know, Kolmogorov energy spectrum. Mm-hmm. I don't remember the details, but I'm just suggesting that maybe it's worth looking at. But the connection is also that reduction, that asymptotic reduction for large Reynolds number in the vortex wave interaction framework, basically gives you a quasi-linear system, which then you threw out this lovely idea that maybe that's a nice way to think about how these different structures interact. So, you know, I do think one might be able to get some mileage by looking at that framework.
Thank you.
Okay, I think we should thank all four speakers again for a great afternoon. I'd like to thank Atty and Keith for being my mic handlers, and let's go to the reception. Is there any announcements from the organizers? No. Eat, drink, and be merry.